This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this Friday edition of Washington Watch. We're broadcasting live from the coffee shop at Greenville Springs Baptist Church, the site of Truth Conference 2017 that begins tonight. We'll be talking more about that with several of the keynote speakers in just a little bit. Abraham Hamilton III from the American Family Association, Fox News Chief Religion Correspondent Lauren Green, Dr. Alex McFarland, and Dr. Frank Turek will all join me a little bit later here on Washington Watch. But first, North Korea launched another intermediate-range ballistic missile, which flew over Japan before landing in the northern Pacific Ocean. This was the longest flight of a North Korean missile to date. This shows that North Korea could reach the American airbase in Guam. Is there a way to avert a confrontation between the U.S. and North Korea? Author and Asian expert Gordon Chang joins me in just a moment. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. And by the way, if you're in the Baton Rouge area, it's still not too late to join us tonight for the Truth Conference. You can find out more at the website, TonyPerkins.com. All that information and more there at TonyPerkins.com. All right, several troubling developments on the international stage today. A manhunt is underway for suspects linked to the bucket bomb that detonated on a packed subway station, train, in London during Friday morning's rush hour commute, injuring at least 29. The Islamic State has taken credit for the UK train attack. And a North Korean ballistic missile flew over the Japanese island of Hokkaido in the Pacific Ocean and landed in the Pacific Ocean. This was the second time in less than 3 weeks that a missile has flown over Japan. With us now is Gordon Chang, author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World and the Coming Collapse of China. He lived and worked in China and Hong Kong for almost two decades, most recently in Shanghai. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Well, the pace of tests has increased in recent months. Some say North Korea appears to be making significant advances toward building a reliable, long-range, nuclear-capable weapon. Is there a way for the U.S. to avert a confrontation with North Korea?
We will always have a confrontation with North Korea, but there is a way to avoid the so-called kinetic options, the use of force. So, for instance, we do have sanctions. They haven't worked. And many people say, well, you know, we got to try something else. Well, we have sanctions that are meant to be ineffective. In other words, sanctions that are only intended to bring Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader, to the bargaining table. What we need are sanctions that are fully capable of denying him the resources to build his nukes and his missiles. And so far, our sanctions are not tough enough. So I believe that if we are starting to sanction North Korea and we are sanctioning China, then we have a possibility of settling this short of the use of force.
So what is so alarming about this new launch that took place today?
What's alarming is not the technical capability of the Hwasong-12 missile, which is what I believe this to be. It's, after all, only an intermediate-range ballistic missile, and we know that they have ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, that can reach deep into the lower 48 states. What's alarming is Kim Jong-un's mentality, because this is a completely defiant act. It was a political act. They arced this over Japan. This was the second time they did this since August 29th, and they did it in the wake of the Resolution 2571, the Security Council resolution on Monday. And indeed, I think what happened here is that Kim Jong-un said to the United States, in effect, "My friends, Russia and China, diluted your resolution, made it ineffective, and so therefore you can't stop me." That is what I think we should take away from this launch.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. We're broadcasting live from the coffee shop at Greenville Springs Baptist Church, the site of Truth Conference 2017 that begins in just a couple hours here. We'll be talking more about that with some of our keynote speakers at this event taking place this weekend. But now we're joined by Dr. Gordon Chang discussing the latest launch of a missile in North Korea over Japan. Is China being aggressive enough in trying to rein in their neighbor and their ally, North Korea?
The answer is no. And in fact, the Chinese have been weaponizing the North Koreans, and they've been doing this in various ways. You know, it's of course that the support of the North Korean economy, and of course China is providing diplomatic support at the UN, but it's more than that. So we have large Chinese banks laundering money for the North Koreans. We have the Chinese providing critical equipment to the North Korean ballistic missile program. Those launchers that the North Koreans have been using, mobile launchers, those are from China. And it appears that North Korea's most advanced missiles, more advanced than the intercontinental ballistic missiles they tested in July, those appear to be Chinese in origin, though we can't prove it quite yet. But they bear striking similarities to Chinese missiles. And we also know the Chinese have been supplying semi-processed fissile material for North Korea's nuclear weapons program. You add up all this together, and it comes to a very sobering conclusion that Beijing has not been trying to settle this to disarm North Korea, but indeed has been using North Korea to destabilize the region and especially to put us off balance.
Well, let me ask you one final question, Dr. Chang, about the motivation of North Korea. What's driving Kim Jong-un?
Well, everyone says he wants to preserve his regime, and that's true. But we also got to remember there are two other objectives. One of them is that the North Koreans sell everything in their arsenal, including nuclear weapons technology, to the Iranians. The Iranians pay an estimated $2 to $3 billion a year to the North Koreans. Also, the second thing is that the core goal of the Kim regime is to take over South Korea. And I'm concerned that when Kim feels confident in his arsenal, he'll use it to blackmail the United States to break our mutual defense treaty with South Korea, to get our 28,500 service personnel off the peninsula so that he can then intimidate South Korea into submission. And indeed, Kim has been talking about final victory, quote unquote, recently with his generals. And that's code word for actually taking over the entire peninsula. So this is obviously exceedingly dangerous because the possibility of miscalculation is very high when Kim tries these things.
Do you foresee the United States, this administration, giving into that, removing U.S. troops there?
No, I don't. But the important thing is what Kim Jong-un thinks. Remember, his father and grandfather were able to kill Americans without penalty. They did that, for instance, in 1968 when they grabbed the Pueblo, a U.S. Navy reconnaissance vessel, out of international water, and when they shot down the Navy EC-121 in 1969, 31 dead. They hacked to death, I think, two Army officers in the demilitarized zone. And really, there's never been any penalty on the North Koreans for it. So, you know, Kim Jong-un looks at the United States and says, who are these guys? Yeah, they got a big military, but they've got no political will. Now, I think Kim is miscalculating because Trump is a very different type of president than his predecessors. But nonetheless, that's a real possible way for that's, I think, the way that Kim Jong-un does look at this. And so we've got to be concerned that that is his view.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Gordon Chang, thanks so much for joining us. Obviously, a topic we'll be following very closely in the days ahead.
Thank you.
Dr. Gordon Chang, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. He is the author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World and the Coming Collapse of China. Well, I'm hopeful that this administration will not blink, and I feel pretty confident that they will continue to watch this very closely and deal with North Korea appropriately, avoiding, hopefully, a confrontation, military confrontation. All right, as I was mentioning, we are broadcasting live from the coffee shop at Greenville Springs Baptist Church, the site of the Truth Conference 2017 that begins shortly here, be happening tonight and tomorrow. Find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, or better yet, if you're within driving distance, come on by. One of our speakers that will be with us this weekend, Abraham Hamilton III. He is the public policy analyst for the American Family Association. He holds a Juris Doctorate degree from Loyola University in New Orleans College of Law. And he is a father and a Bible teacher. And he joins me now. Abraham, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. Good to be here with you, Tony.
It's good to see you. It's been a number of years since we've seen each other, but I remember watching you as a teen coming to the state legislature back when I was in the legislature there. I want to talk about something I think is a passion of yours. I've seen you talk about it, write about it. In fact, I think you're going to talk about it tonight, and that is the issue of when we talk about truth, and that's what this conference is about training our children to walk in the truth. Where does that start?
Well, the scriptures clearly indicate that it starts in the home. I think one of the fundamental flaws we've had within modern Christianity, that we've kind of outsourced the responsibility of grounding our young ones in truth. And I think we've flittered away, unfortunately, some of the greatest resources within the kingdom of God, which consist of the kids that are born within Christian families. And if that does not start in the home, guess what? The world is eagerly waiting to infuse their own worldview and systematic theology, if you will, in the hearts and minds of the children.
Well, the psalmist said that children are like arrows in the quiver of a warrior. Dads would be well advised to spend time teaching their children these truths and preparing to release them into the culture.
Absolutely. And that psalm even concludes with that warrior not being put to shame when he contends with his enemies in the gates. And the real understanding in that is that if a warrior is diligent with the arrows in the quiver, then you have this expanded battalion to where the warrior is now reinforced with his own cavalry that has been cultivated within the burrows of the home, having not only the opportunity to present affirmative instruction, but combining that with the demonstration and application. It's kind of like lecture and lab right there in the crucible that is the home, that where you have the young ones being able to follow the Lord, not in spite of the parents' examples, but in light of their examples, making a powerful witness.
And, of course, we see biblical analogies. Paul uses them in the New Testament. Obviously, we were just talking about the psalmist, about battle, warfare. You know, there is a battle for the truth and to keep the truth, suppress the truth in our culture today. And we cannot be nonchalant as we approach living out the truth.
No, and a nonchalant approach in living out the truth has resulted in, though we have bigger buildings than ever before that purport to be churches, we see the contemporaneous systematic slide away from the Lord and the things of God. And I think before we point the finger externally at the world, we have to start looking internally at ourselves.
There are folks that are still within driving distance that can make it tonight. What would be your recommendation as to why they should rearrange their evening and come be a part of the Truth Conference 2017?
I would recommend it highly, because as the conference theme goes, defining truth in a world that has gone gray, we can't really afford gray areas. If we believe the lie that there is gray areas, we have already lost, because, as I said earlier, the world is ever encroaching. Every moment we stand pat, the world is encroaching, so we can't afford to allow that to continue on our watch.
Abraham Hamilton, thanks so much for being here and being a part of this event. I think it's going to be a great event. And let me just say this. It thrills me to see what God is doing in you and through you.
You're partly responsible that I went to law school, so all my courtroom opponents, they can blame you.
Well, hopefully they got a lot to complain about. Abraham Hamilton III with the American Family Association. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have a great time here at Truth Conference 2017. Still to come, we've got a lot more as we talk with Lauren Green from Fox News, Dr. Frank Turek, Dr. Alex McFarland, and we'll be taking some questions a little later here on Washington Watch. So don't go away. We're back with a lot more covering the Truth Conference 2017 from Greenville Springs Baptist Church right outside of Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? Our founding fathers knew that God's transcendent truth must be the foundation for all law. Since the early 20th century, however, truth-based rule of law has changed dramatically in America. The progressive era ushered in big change, shifting our standards to make it appear that truth is ever-evolving. America's founding fathers determined truth from a fixed source, God. But progressives determined that truth originated with man, thereby making it possible to change the truth in order to fit shifting cultural opinions and to undergird the power of those elected in office. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston reveals the importance of truth founded in God and the consequences of moral relativism. Is truth fixed or is it subject to change? The future existence of our free democracy hinges on answering this question correctly. Go to frc.org/decay to learn more.
In America, we face a media onslaught against the Christian perspective. It is now seen as anti-cultural and invalid. Dr. Michael Paulson, a law professor at the University of St. Thomas, talked about how Christians can respond intellectually. Dr. Paulson has researched common arguments against religious liberty. For example, religious values are no different than ethical values. Dr. Paulson argues that the law should give religious exemptions because of the perspective of a religious person who necessarily believes in God as an ultimate source. Religion is different and necessitates a different kind of devotion. Moreover, the Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom of exercise. The Christian perspective is one that is not outdated, but still present and still valid according to the Constitution. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks for joining us on this Friday afternoon. I know I'm not normally on Fridays, but this is a special Friday. Truth Conference 2017 begins shortly here at Greenville Springs Baptist Church, and so we're broadcasting live from the coffee shop at Greenville Springs Baptist Church. To find out more about the Truth Conference, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. Well, as I mentioned, we've got a great lineup of speakers here this weekend as we talk about truth and how do you defend it as Christians when we talk about biblical truth in a culture that, increasingly is becoming indifferent, if in some cases, if not outright hostile toward Christianity and faith. We're joined now by Fox News Channel's chief religion correspondent, Lauren Green, and author of a new book, Lighthouse Faith. It's We're going to go to the second page there. What's the rest of the title,
God
Lauren?
God is a living reality in a world immersed in fog.
Appropriate.
Yes.
Appropriate. Well, let's talk first. By the way, great to have you here in Baton Rouge.
It's wonderful. It's my first time in Baton Rouge. And you brought out the humidity, I see.
Oh, this is actually mild.
Really?
This is mild.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, good to see you here. And actually, I'm glad. This time I'm asking the questions. I'm asking the questions. You were asking them last week when I was up in New York.
I feel so much more in control when I'm asking the questions.
That's how it works, isn't it? Well, let me ask you, just first off, title. You are the chief religion correspondent at Fox News. The intersection of religion and news, politics, life in general.
Sure. Well, from my point of view, because I study religion, every news story has a spiritual element to it. I mean, that's the broader story. That's the broader element. So I see faith elements or spiritual elements in pretty much everything and how people think, how people, what people believe about what should be done. But when you're covering a religion, I also understand that what I understand is that you're covering belief systems. And no matter what religion you are, no matter what denomination you are, no matter where you are, everybody has a belief system,
right.
Even if you're an atheist,
right?
It's you have sort of this either tacit understanding or tacit belief about where we come from, where we're going, how you treat people, and what the purpose of life is. So from that point of view, you can look at everybody and, you know, understand that everybody has a belief system, whether or not it's the same as mine or not, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. It's a belief system. So in that case, they fall under my purview of religion. And then of course, the idea is that I'm a Christian, so now I understand. My presupposition will always be that Christianity is true. But it does not prevent me from looking at other religions and understanding, yes, that they also believe that their religion is true, that the truth claims that, you know, that they believe in are just as truthful to them as it is for me.
But I think it's very important what you said, that we all have a belief system.
Yes.
We all come to view the events around us through a paradigm, through a filter.
Right.
Now, I'm not asking you to name many names, but when you look at the national media, and they all have religion correspondents, but many of them...
Actually, they don't. Not exclusively. They all have reporters that do cover religion, but not exclusively.
And that's my point. Many of them, they cover religion, but a lot that I've encountered don't have an understanding of religion, especially the Christian faith.
Well, I think they understand what they understand. They have a doctrine of a secular worldview, which says that every religion is basically equal.
So that's how they're viewing religious events.
That's the doctrine of the media, or doctrine of the secular worldview. That's basically what it is. What they don't know is that that's a doctrine in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the same thing that happened when Christianity came on the scene. You know, Caesar wasn't upset that, you know, that Christianity was there. They didn't. What they were upset about was that Christians said that their God was God over...
See, I think that's a very important distinction. What you said is that they don't acknowledge that they have a worldview, a presupposition.
Right.
Whereas Christians, we acknowledge up front that we have a biblical worldview, and that's the way we're analyzing events. Doesn't mean that we're not going to fairly report them, but we're going to view them and report them from a biblical perspective in the context of how we understand truth.
See, and I'm going through this in a story that I covered this week about... And I just had the three churches in Texas suing FEMA over the funds for rebuilding, and the idea that secular somehow is neutral and then Christianity is somehow not is, and I have to use the line of the great apologist Dr. John Frame. He says, there are no neutral positions when it comes to religion. Everybody has a position, a presupposition of what is right and what is truth. So, but the problem that I think we're running into society today and culture today is that Christianity is no longer the identity of the Western world. And so all of the doctrines and the ethical principles and the morals of Christianity for so long were just sort of like habits.
Right.
They weren't really things that we did.
It was like a default position.
It was a default position, you know, like I was talking to you before, that, you know, we've been living off the collateral of Christianity mm-hmm. rather than really understanding its tenets. You know, people did things because it was a habit. Why do you not have sex outside of marriage? Because only, you know, because bad people do that. You know, bad girls do that. Not because, well, that's not the way the order of the universe goes, and God made it so that this is the best way for us. So we didn't get that. We took a sort of default position of bad people do this and good people do this, without understanding that a loving God would create this wonderful thing called sex and then want us to enjoy it and then say, but these are the parameters. And that's the thing, that's just one example.
But that applies to all truth.
Yes.
And therefore, we have been kind of coasting on the previous generation's understanding of truth. And as you said, we don't know what's been pushing us forward. And it's now time to rediscover the validity of that truth and the ability to defend that truth.
You know, I had a very interesting conversation with Dr. Peter Kraft last week on the podcast. I'm launching a podcast called Lighthouse Faith Podcast, and we've done about 8 or 9 of these so far, but last week with Dr. Peter Kraft, and he was talking about how John Paul II said, you know, the first century of Christianity, we're all really wonderful people, we get along. The second century starts the split. It starts, you know, the big schism of 1054, and then, of course, the Reformation.
That's what happens in Baptist churches.
Exactly.
Too.
But he thought that the third millennium, will be the reunification of the Christian churches.
Well, could very well be.
And we could all be a part of it.
Well, we know we'll be unified when Christ returns, and that is imminent. Lauren Green, thanks so much. Looking forward to hearing you tonight. And tomorrow morning, you'll be playing the piano.
Yes, I will be playing a little bit, yes.
We're looking forward to that.
Demonstration.
Well, welcome again to the South. Folks, we're coming right back after this. Dr. Alex McFarland will join us as a part of the Truth Conference. Don't go away.
Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. We're broadcasting live from the coffee shop at Greenville Springs Baptist Church. All right, y'all, calm down. Don't let the caffeine get to you. Okay. Tonight, Truth Conference 2017 takes place, and there's still room for you. We got, in fact, we'll make room for you. One of our speakers, and by the way, this is... This takes place tonight and tomorrow, and it's about the truth. And it's as Christians, how do we defend truth in a culture that is increasingly becoming indifferent, if not hostile? You know, understanding the difference between apologetics and a biblical worldview is important for the Christian walk. And with us now, someone who knows the differences very well, Alex McFarland, one of our featured speakers. He is a speaker, writer, writes all kinds of stuff, an advocate for Christian apologetics. He serves as the director of the Center for Christian Worldview and Apologetics at North Greenville University and founder of Truth for a New Generation. It's Apologetics Conference. Alex, good to see you again.
Well, Tony, thanks for having me. It's great to be here and always good to see you.
And I know, as I was saying, you write a lot of books. I think we ran out of table space for all your books that you write.
Well, you know, there's just so much to say in life.
In fact, I think you're missing your daily program to be here because you're normally on right before we are on the AFR network.
You know, a lot of times I'll have the equipment set up and I'll finish my show and I'll just stay patched into the board listening to your show, Washington Watch, and I want to commend you for the great work you do.
Well, thank you. We're entertaining at times, are we not?
Well, it's always informative, and I learn a lot. Because, you know, I do a lot of media interviews, and before I was on, Lauren Green was talking about a Christian worldview, and it is, when Christ comes into your life, a change really happens. And you're looking at a diehard introvert, and if I had ever known that I would be a speaker and a writer and make a living doing Q&A in front of audiences of total strangers, I probably would have been mortified. But when you find the Lord and then you get a biblically informed perspective on life, it really does. Jeremiah 20, verse 9 is a verse I relate to. It says, His word was in my heart like a burning fire. And so that's why the books and the broadcasting.
That's very similar to my story. Yeah. I'd be the same way. Right. But that was a verse I often felt as I came to know the Lord and the Lord was calling me in this direction. It was like, Lord, I don't really want to do it, but if I don't speak out, I feel like I'm going to blow up inside.
Yeah. You know, in Amos chapter 3, verse 2, I believe it is, the book of Amos begins on the judgment of all these unbelieving nations, these very godless nations that were doing some very horrid things like killing pregnant women and killing the babies out of them. I mean, you read the book of Amos, it's pretty rough. But he says, how can we not but prophesy? How can we not speak out? And one of the messages that I really share to the body of Christ as I travel around America is, you know, those of us who know Christ, those of us who, you know, are reshaping our lives in light of God's word, we really do have a message the world needs to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we not but speak up?
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight and tomorrow. We need to speak up, but how do we speak up? How do Christians come to a point where they are confident in defending the truth they believe?
Well, I think Christians really do need to be confident, especially young people. I'm going to quote a Bible verse, but I'm not using the Bible to prove the Bible, but I do want to show how a certain Bible verse, I think, points to a reality of our times. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "We have not followed cleverly devised fables when we've made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The gospel that the Christian God exists, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, thus validating and proving his identity and message. It's not a myth. It's not a legend or a fairy tale. I mean, it is backed up by empirical, objective evidence that we can investigate. And Tony, I really think it's kind of an epiphany to a lot of people that faith claims can be tested. I mean, the claims of a belief system, they can be validated as true. They can be exposed as false. And we can be confident. Now, it might be a pursuit of a lifetime to learn all the stuff of, you know, Josh McDowell, Lee Strobel,
there's a lot out there.
C.S. Lewis. But to
Alex
everyone
McFarlane.
Listening, well, maybe, I want to say be confident, be absolutely confident that the Word of God, the message of the gospel, it really, really is true. David Silverman and I were in Canada a couple months ago to do a debate. And during the Q&A, we were at Vancouver, and somebody said, you know, you believe Christianity because you want it to be true. And I said, no. I mean, I believe it, and I do. I have utter conviction that it is true. But I'm not preaching and debating and living this out because I want it to be true. And I think a lot of those outside the faith, they probably assume we're doing this because it's our preference. But it's not our preference, although we believe it, and I'm glad it's true. We are committed to this message and to the Lord Jesus because it is true. Our opinion or our preference has nothing to do with the objective nature of the gospel.
But Alex McFarlane, increasingly it's becoming difficult for Christians to speak that truth publicly.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about.
It really is. And I think it's imperative not only out of fidelity to our Savior, but really, I'll make what might sound like a bold statement, I think the preservation of our Constitution, our liberties, the America that we have enjoyed and frankly taken for granted for 241 years, the preservation of our Constitution depends on this being a climate where certain objective moral boundaries are recognized.
I think you're absolutely right. Dr. Alex McFarland, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you tonight.
Thank you, Penny.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more from the Truth Conference 2017 with Dr. Frank Turek. Don't go away.
Are you worried about the moral direction of America? Do you feel powerless to make a difference? Family Research Council is an organization that works to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. Established in 1983 in Washington, D.C., Family Research Council conducts research, develops policy, drafts legislation, and educates policymakers, pastors, and the grassroots. It testifies before Congress and shapes public debate through the media and internet. Every day, the Christian worldview is increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. We want you to know that we are your advocate in our nation's capital. To learn more about Family Research Council, please visit us at frc.org and follow us on social media to receive our action alerts and stay up to date on the latest news. Again, that's frc.org.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As Senior Director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you are with us on this Friday afternoon. As we said earlier, we're broadcasting live from the coffee shop at Greenville Springs Baptist Church in advance of Truth Conference 2017. And the Truth Conference will feature a panel of leading experts discussing topics such as teen apologetics, Christian parenting, Christian citizenship, and biblical truth. I'm telling you what, this is going to be an exciting event where teens, parents, grandparents, pastors, ministers, whoever, will find answers to, you know, how do we lead a lost world to Christ? How do we live authentically in a world that increasingly has become indifferent to the faith, the Christian faith? With us now is Dr. Frank Turek, speaker, award-winning author, and president of CrossExamine.org, and one of our featured speakers here at the conference. He is a former aviator in the U.S. Navy. Frank has a master's degree from George Washington University and a doctorate from Southern Evangelical Seminary, and the author of one of my favorite books, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Frank, welcome.
Great to be here, Tony.
appreciate you coming down and being here in Baton Rouge.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be in the South. Great to be here at this church that I hear that you have something to do with at this church, don't you?
Well, I am currently serving as interim pastor here at Greenville
Springs. You don't have enough to do.
No,
how do
I
you
don't.
Do the Family Research Council and pastor at the same time in two different states?
Well, we've got great teams on both ends.
It's amazing. I think he deserves a round of applause.
I got a great wife, family, and great staff of both sides. That basically, I'm just the mouth of both organizations. Uh-huh. You know? But glad you're here for the Truth Conference. This is our first kind of launch into the Truth Conference. Our youth minister, Nathan Lott, really kind of been heading this mm-hmm. up because, you know, increasingly we're seeing, and this is for everybody, but we were driven more by a burden for young people being able to defend what they believe, know what they believe, and be able to defend it.
That's what we're going to do here tonight and tomorrow. We're in Baton Rouge, not far from Baton Rouge, right?
We're just outside the city limits of Baton Rouge.
You know, Tony, before the previous guest you had Lauren Green on just a few minutes ago and Alex McFarland, and they were talking about these different worldviews that people have. Do you know what I think everybody, regardless of their worldview, can agree on? I mean, I don't care whether you're a Christian, an atheist, an agnostic, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu. Doesn't matter. If I were to ask any one of those people this question, what's wrong with the world? Nobody's going to say nothing, right? Everyone's going to say there's something wrong with the world. Something just isn't right here. And what we're going to do here at this conference is talk about the solution to what's not right. Everybody listening right now knows there's something wrong with the world.
And the polling data shows that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Nobody's going to go, everything's great, everything's perfect, there's no problems. Everybody knows there are problems. Personal problems, societal problems, religious problems, environmental problems, whatever. There are problems. What's the ultimate solution? Where is this whole thing going? And that's what we're going to talk about this weekend here. And by the way, are you videoing any of this stuff? Are you taping any of this stuff?
We'll be
for the weekend.
Yeah, actually, some of it we'll be recording it.
So if they can't make it, maybe at some future
date
they can see it.
They'll be able to. They'll be able to watch. If they can't make it, they can actually watch.
All right.
Online, we'll have it on our Facebook page, Greenville Springs. It'll be on there as well as our website. Well, actually, they go to Truth 2017. It'll be up there on that website,
okay,
Truth 2017.
Good, because as Alex was saying in the previous segment, there is excellent evidence that what we call Christianity really is true, that there really is a God, and Jesus did really come and rise from the dead and prove he was God. And by trusting in him, you can have your sins forgiven, and you can ultimately be given his righteousness, which is amazing when you think about it.
And that's why I like, and I've actually taught college and career class on your book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, mm-hmm. because you look at the moral argument, the teleological mm-hmm. argument. You break this down and say the evidence is overwhelming mm-hmm. that we're here because God created us.
That's right. And he has a plan for us, and the ultimate plan is for us to know him, not just intellectually, but volitionally, personally, because he has provided the pardon, if you will. He's provided the sacrifice for the problems that we've created. And by trusting in him, we can have our sins forgiven and be unified back with God and live with him forever. I mean, that's ultimately the plan. But not everybody wants that. Not everybody wants to accept that. That's fine. Everyone has free will. But here's the evidence. Take a look at it and see what you think's right.
But is it possible that part of the reason we're seeing growing hostility toward religion, Christianity in particular, mm-hmm. not just here in this country. I mean, we're seeing, you know, Christians are mocked. They're made fun of by Hollywood. But, you know, last year there was a report 90,000 Christians lost their lives globally. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this in the Middle East, I think, in large part. And I'm going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about the why we need to defend the faith. Mm-hmm. And that is, I believe that as we grow silent here at home, Christians die abroad.
That's true. Absolutely. Yeah.
But my question for you is, is our silence because we don't understand that the faith is verifiable and it can be defended?
I think that's part of it. I think many people don't understand. They think it's blind faith rather than trust in what we know to be true. See, that's what when the Bible talks about faith, most of the time it means trusting in what you have good reason to believe is true. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean
right.
just throw my brains out the door and I just trust in anything. No, you're trusting in what you have good evidence to believe is true. In fact, John sums it up in one amazing sentence in John chapter 20, where he says, these things, these signs, these miracles were done so that you may know that Jesus right. is the Savior, and by trusting in him, you can have life in his name.
And Jesus, when he prays for the his disciples in John as well, he's mm-hmm. talking about, he prays that they would be one so that the world would know mm-hmm. that God sent, the Father sent the Son. And that's amazing evidence. When you think of a world that's so divided, when people can walk in unity together, yes. that's a miracle.
Yes. Yeah, we need that here. We need unity here. And I love what C.S. Lewis said in his book, Mere Christianity, that basically that's what the whole thing is about. Mere Christianity. What are the essentials of Christianity? And at this conference, I know we're going to give evidence that the essentials are true, that there is a God. You are not him. I'm not him. We've all broken the standard of righteousness out there, which is God's nature. And since God is a just God, he has to punish that. Otherwise, he's not just. So how does he punish it? He punishes himself in our place.
Right.
He adds humanity over his deity, and he comes to earth, and he pays the price for us. And by trusting in him, we can have our sins forgiven, and we can live with him forever. That's where all this is going. So what's wrong with the world? We're wrong with the world, but God is right with the world, and he can make it better.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, broadcasting live from the Greenville Springs Baptist Church coffee shop in advance of Truth Conference 2017. Dr. Frank Turk, my guest and one of the keynote speakers here this weekend. All right, you said that that's part of the reason,
mm-hmm.
Because people don't feel adequately mm-hmm. equipped to defend the faith, don't understand it.
Yeah.
What are some of the other reasons?
I think some of the other reasons are people are afraid. I think fear is part of it. People don't like to be mocked. People don't want to bring it up because they think, well, I don't have an answer for this, and it is just blind faith for me. So I think that's part of it. I mean, you need to have a certain amount of courage, I guess, to get out there. Even, you know, as you were saying earlier, Tony, there are people losing their lives over this, and we're afraid to put a note on Facebook because someone's going to unfriend us. I mean, that's
a reality.
Oh, wow.
That's a reality.
Gee.
I think this is an age in which we have to have courageous Christians.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Christians who are bold and courageous. And, you know, going back again to John, where Jesus was warning his disciples, he said, look, you know, they hated me first. They're going to hate you. I mean,
that's
he
right.
warned
that's right.
us that, look, not everybody's going to roll out the red carpet for
mm-hmm.
you.
No, and Paul said, everyone who lives a faithful life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So you will go through difficulty here.
But there's a reason for us to go through that
mm-hmm.
and uphold the truth, live the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that others might come to know the truth.
Yes.
This
and
is the only way the gospel moves forward.
That's right. And we actually enhance our capacity to enjoy God when we go through difficulty, right?
Yes.
When you go through difficulty, and many of you out there are going through difficulty right now, when you come out the other side of it, you've enhanced your capacity to enjoy God. You've enhanced your capacity to appreciate the important things in life, too.
And you've learned the depth of God's grace.
That's right.
Because as Paul said, he said, dealing with his issues, he said, you know, God's grace is sufficient
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
meet all of our needs.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go through these difficulties and standing for the faith, you know, I often have heard people say to others, I don't know how you did that. Well, the only way they did it was through God's grace, and that grace is allotted for when we are in that particular
mm-hmm.
situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, you've got some great speakers coming to this event. I know most of them. Why don't you tell folks so they know? If they're local, and we're in Baton Rouge, right? They can come by within a couple hours of Baton Rouge tonight and tomorrow, right?
We begin, doors open at 6. We begin at 6:30 tonight.
Central
time.
Yep.
Well, if you're in Baton Rouge, you're going to be on Central Time.
All right.
So
I almost didn't make this because I was thinking it was Eastern. Sorry.
That, you know, I live in two time zones. Believe me, I've made that mistake many times. Obviously, Dr. Frank Turk's going to be with us. Dr. Alex McFarland, Lauren Green with Fox News. We heard Abraham Hamilton earlier from American Family Association, mm-hmm. who I've known since he was a teenager.
Oh, really?
His church used to come to the legislature when I was in the legislature. Their whole church was engaged. So he grew up under the tutelage of a pastor who really, he taught them, but then he put them in the laboratory Uh-huh. He actually, so they engaged, and he's great.
And you're speaking too. What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to be talking. You guys are going to talk about the how.
All right.
You're going to give them the tools to speak, to stand up and defend truth, and I'm going to talk more about the why.
All right.
I'm going to talk about the current setting, both domestically and from a global perspective, of why it's important that we stand up, speak up, and authentically live our faith. It's not just about talking about it. It's about living it. And that's the essential element of Christianity. It's not just the fact that we read something, we preach something, we say something. It's that we live something, that there's integrity
right
in what we do and what we say.
Mm-hmm.
And increasingly, Frank, you've seen it, you know, we've talked about this. You went through this yourself where over this issue of same-sex marriage.
In the name of inclusion, tolerance, and diversity, I was excluded.
How's that work?
I don't know, but yeah, I've noticed that some people who say they're fighting for tolerance are the most intolerant people out there. This is not about tolerance. This is about imposing a worldview on everyone.
And if at this moment in time, Christians grow silent because they want to kind of, you know, well, they'll just leave us alone if I don't say anything.
You know, for Tony, I understand why people are wary of politics. I understand it. You know, it's not the most pleasant thing to be involved in. You know,
here in Louisiana, it's a blood sport.
Yeah, I mean, well, you've been involved in national politics for 15 years or so.
Yeah, but that's
now.
Easy compared to that's Louisiana easy. Politics.
Okay, but I want people to think about this, that people say, oh, let's just preach the gospel and get people saved. I'm all for that. I try and do that every day. But people don't understand that politics affects your ability to do that.
Absolutely.
Politics, the laws that are made in Washington, here in Baton Rouge, in your localities, whatever your state is, whatever your locality, they affect whether or not you can preach the gospel, believe it or not.
We are seeing that increasingly. I mean, ask the bakers, the florists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can't do this radio broadcast that we're doing right now in Iran, in China, in North Korea, in Massachusetts. No, maybe you can do it in Massachusetts still. I don't know.
In Canada. You can't do it in Canada.
You can't do it in Canada. That's right. Why? Because politically they've ruled it out. That's the real issue. You know, people are talking about North Korea a lot now for obvious reasons. If you're near an iPhone or your computer right now, I want you to Google this. Google Korea Satellite Night. Korea Satellite Night. When you look at that image that's going to come up on your screen, you're going to be shocked because you're going to see South Korea is filled with light and North Korea is filled with darkness. Why? There's one major reason: politics. The South has political freedom, the North does not. The South has the gospel, the North does not. The South is a robust economy, the North is a concentration camp for one reason: politics.
Yep.
That's it.
We have, I believe, as Christians in America, we have a right as American citizens, but as Christians, I believe we have a responsibility to be engaged. Now, I know you'll agree with me when I say this. We don't believe that our hope is in politics, our salvation is in politics. Mm-hmm. We simply see that as yet another area of the world that we need to be involved in, just like education, entertainment. We are called to bring the light of the gospel to every realm of society.
And to bring protection to every realm of society. That's what governments do. They're there to prevent evil people from hurting others. And that's even Paul talks about this in Romans 13. In Romans 13, he says that's what the government's there for, the sword to prevent innocent people from being hurt. And so we as Christians want to ensure everyone's protected, and that's one reason we're involved in politics as well. But this isn't about politics.
But we're talking about the truth, and there is an intersection with the ability to live out our faith.
That's right.
But ultimately, and this is what we're going to deal with this weekend, it is how do you do it? How do we successfully live out our faith in the 21st century? And why? Why do we need to do this? Why not just, have our little huddles and, we bless one another and then we go back to normal life? That's not authentic Christianity.
No.
And so we're going to learn more about this weekend. So, folks, come and hear Dr. Frank Turek, Alex McFarlane, Lauren Green, Abraham Hamilton, myself, Jeremy Daly is going to be doing the music. We're going to have a great time together this weekend. Frank, always great to see you.
Great to be here, Tony, in Baton Rouge. And I hope people will come out tonight. And if they can't come out, they can watch it.
Where? They can watch it at truth2017.com.
Tonight and tomorrow morning, right?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, great.
All right, folks, been a great week. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, where he says in Ephesians 6, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken a stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.